Well, last week, Logan, Ethan, and I went out and raked some leaves. We probably should have done more yesterday, but it was a little too windy. Granted, it's not so much that we raked the leaves as more we put them in a big pile so that they could be jumped on and rolled around. It was good fun, and at least at that point, the leaves were all in one central spot in the yard instead of scattered all around. But a week passed, and you wouldn't know we'd been out at all. And I imagine that many of you have similar memories, and that over the past few days, you've spent some time raking leaves and cleaning up your gardens as winter is apparently approaching. When we think about trees and the cycle that they go through from season to season, I am often amazed at both the complexity of the process and also the simplicity. In the fall, the tree protects itself by drawing its nutrients in from the leaves into the tree itself, and it abandons the leaf to the winds. And this allows the tree to survive the cold of winter. And as the winter weather turns warmer, new leaves are formed. Our scripture reading from Ecclesiastes this morning reminds us that there is a time for all things. That life is not a static thing. From moment to moment, things are changing, living, dying. And that throughout our lives, there is a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time for war and a time for peace. These are just some of the themes that are brought out in our reading today, and they are pertinent and speak to us, especially today on Remembrance Sunday. As we remember the sacrifice of men and women who fought in conflict and died. To be sure, not all of them died, but I don't believe you can venture into the horrors of war and not have a part of you die. I believe it would change you and something new would be born in its stead. During the children's time there, I shared a little bit about Reverend Major John Foote. He received our country's highest military honor, not because he killed, but because he healed. He spent countless hours on a beach surrounded by dead and dying men, and he didn't fight back. He brought aid and comfort to those around him. Today we have honored those who laid down their lives for us. In two world wars, Iraq, Afghanistan, Korea, countless other conflicts. Leaves which have fallen, shed not by their nation, but laid down in sacrifice for friends and for a cause that they believed in. We give thanks for what they have done on our behalf, and we thank God for them. As followers of Christ, we are challenged by the concept of war and the need for violence and bloodshed to reach an objective. We recognize that historically this may not have always been the case, and in some instances we shudder at the violence which was used in Christ's name. Today, as I indicated earlier, I'm wearing the stole which belonged to Lieutenant Colonel John A. Monroe. As I said, I don't know very much about him. I tried to do a little bit of research and couldn't find anything readily available. On the stole is this is the symbol for the Canadian Forces Chaplain Services. And inside the purple here, it says the words, "In this sign, conquer."
which until 2006 was the motto of the Royal Canadian Chaplain Service. In 2006, the motto was changed to called to serve. As I said, I wear the stole today to remind us of our historic past and to honor the memory of those who served. But this motto in this sign, conquer, says something about how we thought about war. It harkens back to the Roman Empire, when on the battlefield, Emperor Constantine saw the Chiro symbol in the sky with the words, in this sky, in this sign, conquer. During my final year of seminary, I did some research on the topic of the Presbyterian response to World War II. It was a fascinating look back at historical records, official correspondence, and committee meetings, all surrounding the issue of war. Concerns of the Presbyterian Church, the state of individual congregations, and of course those ministers who decided to serve as chaplains. And I would argue that the language that we use today and our thoughts today on war have shifted. Today we have concern for those members of the Canadian Forces, as we did then. And we ask questions, which we did then as well. Is this a conflict that we are entering? Should we fight it? Is this our concern? And if it is our concern, is military action the appropriate response? Have we exhausted diplomacy? Was diplomacy ever an option? And none of these questions have a straight black or white answer. There are far, far too many shades of gray. But in the face of continuing civil war in Syria, the continued threat of ISIS, and countless other areas of concern and conflict, what are we as a Christian community to do? We honor those who have fought for our freedom, but we often find ourselves confused because Jesus is the one whom we call the Prince of Peace. How do we reconcile those two things? Today, we honor those who fought and died. Today, we honor those who fought and lived. We honor and thank them for doing something that most of us will never have to do. And we also look to Jesus, the author of our faith, and we consider the words he imparted on us and the life that he lived. And we recognize that Jesus died a violent death. Jesus was, in many ways, the first leaf. He fell that we might know eternal life and the forgiveness of God. It is a terrible truth that the Prince of Peace, the one who called us to love our neighbors, died to violence. Jesus lived out the promise of his words, "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, and yet he is the one who laid down his life. He knew the road which he was on. Jesus knew that for himself, it would soon be a time for dying, so that we might have the opportunity to live in the fullness of God's grace, love, and mercy. Friends, we acknowledge the regrettable need for war. That in God's good creation, there are those who simply refuse to love or live in harmony with their neighbor. We give thanks to those who have served and continue to serve in our armed forces for the sacrifice that they make in body, mind, and soul. For those who laid down their life for a friend, for country, for a cause, for people they would never meet, people like me and like you. But Jesus does not stop with words about laying down one's life. He concludes his charge with words for those who remain, to go and bear good fruit, to work for peace, to seek harmony, to love one another. In doing so, we honor the memory of those who died for freedom. We honor their sacrifice. We thank them for their valor. And we look to Christ and his death on the cross, and we say, enough, no more. The price has been paid. Why do we continue with such violent ways? How long must we continue to sacrifice the bodies of our young men and women? When will we, as a community of faith that follows in the way of Christ, when will we, as people of this nation, as people who live on this planet, when will we be able to say to those whom we honor, we have kept the faith, we have vanquished the foe, death is no more? At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we honor those who serve. As a Christian community, we do that best while living in the commands of Jesus Christ, who said, love one another. Amen.